This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Theatre, film, TV and more. Susie Rong reviews it all on Joy Drive.
Good afternoon, Susie Rong.
Hello, Warren. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Susie, I was worried that you wouldn't be there. There'd just be emptiness or static because you might be busy getting an Oscar.
for a 90-second scene on the TV.
How good, though. Like, but, you know, I like the way you weren't letting your clients get away with it, though.
I had a really good time playing that role. I've always imagined that I'll be a really good kind of psychologist or counselor or something. So that was a really great opportunity playing a $1,400 an hour, very high-end counselor.
I think it was great. We're talking about Optics, of course, which is streaming on ABC iView. But what a great role. And you're in episode 4, Susie. If you haven't seen it, go and watch episode 4 at least. I think it's one of the funniest episodes.
Yeah, I think the whole thing is really funny, and I was really happy with the story that I was a part of. It was, you know, quirky and actually I thought the whole series had a lot of substance to it, actually.
To be honest, I really enjoyed it, but let's talk about it after you give us your review.
Greta and Nicole are suddenly promoted at work. For the first time, young women are in charge at their crisis management company. Ian must now learn to take orders from his new bosses, but being a middle-aged man, it is taking quite a bit of getting used to. The new ABC comedy series Optics is as much about generational differences as it is about the business of public relations, as characters go through comedic situations requiring them to fix up the reputations of public figures. We are given the opportunity to observe how society is changing all around us. We see what our values as Australians are today, with all our contradictions, our desire to evolve, and our desire to stay the same. The tone of Optics is very light, but it discusses some serious matters, including ideas about what is currently acceptable and unacceptable in our public sphere. It talks about who we want to think ourselves to be versus who we really are, and it talks about the conflicts between people who wish to leave certain aspects of Australian life behind versus those who want to preserve those older qualities. I love that there is a very solid sociological basis to Optics, but more than that is the hilarity of all its 6 episodes that I find deeply satisfying. Directed brilliantly by Max Miller and written with marvellous insight and flair by the 3 lead performers, Charles Firth, Jenna Owen and Vic Zerbst. Optics is a true gem offering excellent entertainment along with valuable social commentary. It is persistently compelling and delivers many, many big laughs. At the end, there is meaningful food for thought so that the show's resonance lasts far beyond the 20-something minutes of each installment. Warren, I really hope to see a second season of Optics. What did you think?
Oh, do you know what? And I loved it. I really loved it. I think you described it as deeply satisfying. It is deeply satisfying. I put it on and I thought, oh, I wonder what this is going to be like. I'll do the dishes and I'll do things. And I had to sit down and watch it. I was laughing my head off. I think it's one of the funniest things I've seen in a long time. I think everyone's performance is amazing. Susie, it's great to see you in it in episode 4 as well. But it's very funny. But at the same time, there's a sort of a bit of a seriousness to it as well. Does this really go on, this image management? Is it based on sort of a true industry, or is it completely made up?
I think it's real. I didn't ask the show creators, but, you know, it makes sense at least. You know, I'm sure there are people who are experts with media. Like, I deal with a lot of publicists in what I do in terms of covering theatre in Sydney, but that's a very niche sort of a space. But there are people that make a living out of their relationships with their media, and obviously, you know, people who get in trouble, who get in hot water, who are very high profile people, they have a lot of money to fix their situation. So it doesn't surprise me at all if these kinds of PR does happen.
Do you have the essence of promiscuity? Was that the spray, I think, that they sprayed at one stage? Or was it something of sweet rose or something?
I don't know if it's a fragrance or something that goes on to your privates.
That's right. That's right. I loved it. I thought it was a really great series. But the thing is, the power of perception. I mean, your image, your brand, your optics. I mean, whether it be in politics or whatever or in corporate life, so much effort goes into it, doesn't it? And that's what we tend to, I suppose, think of people is that whole, the image that's portrayed to us. And the thing that got me thinking when I was watching this series, Susie, I thought, this is what our politicians do. This is what they do. They get these companies and they spin things so much that we don't necessarily vote on what their policy is. We vote on what we think of them personally. I just was amazed at how much effort goes in to making someone appear a certain way when it could be completely different from what the truth is.
Yeah, decades ago, there was a Michael J. Fox series called Spin City that was precisely about this sort of thing happening in the American capital, Washington, D.C., and how there were professionals that would spin these stories. But I'm looking at American news today, and I'm thinking, like, does bad press even exist anymore? Mm. Like, people are behaving in such such obviously bad ways and still really getting their way. I feel like there is a change. There's a big change. Obviously I'm talking about Elon Musk and Donald Trump, you know, getting on stage and doing a Nazi salute and kind of, you know, obviously he's Teflon. Nothing's going to happen to him. It is all very strange. But in the show, you know, it's good to see how things are from an Australian perspective, that we do have that side of it. Because I think we have this habit of thinking that we are kind of the innocent cousin of the Europeans and America. But this show kind of shows us how much, you know, I love that it started with the sporting star. I thought that was an important way to kind of frame it for an Australian audience, what we think we are, you know, especially with sport. We like to think that we are so kind of innocent and we are so wholesome in some way. And I love that the show exposes a lot about Australian misogyny and the Australian patriarchy that has its kind of distinct flavor. I also love that even though it starts off telling you that, oh, these two women are taking over the company, but they actually don't do anything for feminism. they were just doing what the business requires of them, just protecting these horrible men. There are very many beautiful layers to the storytelling, and I hope that it comes back next year, because then I think it will be able to go much deeper into the substance of the story.
Susie, just in terms of your performance in it, I mean, out of curiosity, how much effort goes into something like that? Like, how long did it take you to prepare for that role?
Well, the thing about working on TV shows is it's always a matter of doing as much as you can in as short a time as you can, because every second counts, every minute is a lot of money, because everyone wants to get paid professionally, and there are always a ton of people involved. So in my case, with this particular role, because it was just like a 90-second, two-minute scene, and I was engaged, a month ahead, I was able to kind of just get really deep into the scene. But, you know, I had my previous role on Hungry Ghost, I was engaged a month ago for a lot more, right? Like four entire hours. So my effort had to be spread across 4 hours. So it was interesting to be sitting there and being really, really thoroughly prepared for just such a short scene. It was a real, real joy. Like, I was prepared for any kind of scenario that could happen, because I had two other actors that were playing with me, and I was prepared, you know, kind of being able to bounce off whatever they would give me, because I knew that moment in the story so well. So it felt really great to be so thoroughly prepared, and it felt really good, the process of being able to get so deep into something because you had so much time for so little.
And the other actors were great too. Were they good to work with?
They were great. I thought the entire series is just really well cast, and everyone's doing a really good job. And I think in my opinion, when you see a show that has so many characters, you know, and there's so many small roles popping up, and everyone's doing such a good job of performance, I think it has so much to do with the writing and the direction. And direction is hard, sometimes hard to talk about, because that, you know, they're a little bit meant to be invisible. But when it's across the board of such a high quality, I thought it's so clear that the direction was great.
We're chatting about Optics, which you can catch on ABC iView. It does star Susie Rong in episode 4. The other thing that I thought was great with it, there's a great diversity in the casting, Susie.
And it's so natural, isn't it? Yeah. You never feel like people were kind of shoehorned into their roles. You just feel like, yeah, it all makes sense. Even that really young guy who was like an influencer, it was so great. He came in with what I consider to be like a Western Sydney accent. It was also so natural and makes so much sense within our, in terms of how we live, and it wasn't all that, you know, that kind of casting that you usually get on commercial television, like on our commercial networks. Like they would cast kind of an imaginary Australia. I felt like Optics did a really good job in that regard.
And the other thing is too, you're right, I mean, it's a very serious thing what they're doing in terms of, you know, I suppose making people's bad behaviour look good, or turning it around. And some of the techniques that they were talking about, I was thinking, wow, are these real techniques? Because it's kind of like, it sounded like textbook stuff, really, didn't it? And I was amazed at that, what they can do. Like,
I would say that a lot of it was exaggerated, but I think they were all based in truth. Mm. That they would create their own bloggers, they would create their own what do they call them? Those opinion, those people that look like they're journalists, but they're not. They would write for all these publications that, people that might have a name, but don't actually are real people. I love that stuff's included in it. I love that story about how the airline was selling tickets for flights that don't exist. Because, I mean, we don't know if that's true or not.
I love the
but
name
that's
of
only
the airline,
what it feels
too.
Like. What was the name of it?
I can't remember. It was something very similar to another one, but yeah.
Oh, like the other one, yeah. I love that it was so, it felt so true to our experience, right? Like the number of times people's flights get cancelled, and you're sitting there thinking, why is my flight cancelled when clearly you sold me the ticket, you gave me the time slot, and then now for some unknown reason it's cancelled and I have to go on to another flight. And the way they explained it in the show was made so much sense and so comical and performed so well. Yeah, it made so much sense.
Have you heard anything about another series being made at all?
No, I haven't. I am fantasizing that they go back to the post office spa.
Yes, that, they have to.
Then I'll be able to dish out more bad advice to people.
I love it. How much do you charge an hour for your advice? How much was it again?
It was $1,400.
$1,400. That's after you have the snail stuff on your face.
On your face, yeah. And that's, and there were two people in the session, so I'm assuming I had $2,800 from that session of counseling.
Susie, I think you did.
And wasn't that house fantastic? Did you see the location of where I was?
Where was it filmed?
It was, that scene was filmed in Coogee here. Uh-huh. It was an incredible, big house. Yeah, it was an incredible house, and I was so lucky that I only had one day to shoot, and I was able to go into the most fabulous location and check out that place. It was fantastic.
Well, Susie, you know what? With the fees that you're charging, you'll be owning the place shortly.
She looks like she owned the place. I'm not surprised if she owns the whole joint.
Looks amazing. So the show is called Optics. Catch it on ABC iView. Susie, you did a great job. I loved it. Really good job. Got something, a message that's just come in saying Optics. Yes, Qantas was actually selling tickets on flights that did not exist. True, they got in trouble with the ACCC. That's from Angela in Eltham North. I don't know a lot about that. But, yes, there you go. So catch it if you can. It's called Optics. ABC iView. Susie, what are we watching next week?
Clean Slate, starring Laverne Cox, begins on Amazon Prime Video this Thursday. It's a comedy series about the homecoming of a trans woman in the deep south of America. So check out Clean Slate, and I'll see you next Tuesday. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Susie.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.